2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
From this Irish bastard to you and yours, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by those good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to the website, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. And with that, you get 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel where you can chat with me, co-host Keith Hall, who's with us today, as always, and all of our like-minded players inside the DFS Army. You get access to the Domination Station, which builds lineups for you if you don't have time to do research during the day. Keith's cheat sheet, we call it Boomers Ballers. And, of course, the brand new VIP simulation projections, which are pretty cool. They run through a whole litmus test of different simulations of games put together by our own Taco. Very cool to check out. So, once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And Keith Hall joins us as always. You can find him at Boomer's DFS Daddy. Happy St. Paddy's Day, Keith.
Happy St. Paddy's Day to you. Of course, with us both being Irish, every day is St. Paddy's Day to us. So
sure.
That's something...
I try not to make it, but it happens. Yeah,
that's something that you Irish folk or non-Irish folk don't realize is us Irishmen, especially us Catholic Irishmen. Which, what other kind of Irishman is there?
Very true.
We like to drink, so therefore every day is St. Paddy's Day. This is just an excuse for everybody to celebrate and act like us. So, but
damn,
we all
near
know
put
that,
a car bomb in my Cheerios this morning.
Yep, we all know that they want to be us, but they can't be. So
that is true. That is true. Now, you know, I always try to think about, you know, all the different nationalities that we all might be now here in the New York area. I'm sure there might be some in different areas too, but the San Gennaro festivals where you get all the Italian families out there and they have their own tents, and you know, you go around all the different places, you get a couple of pasta bowls, a lot of meatball sandwiches, sausage parm sandwiches, and things like that. So that's always a good time, but that's usually like a whole week, but the whole month of March here in the New York and Jersey area is just crazy with all the different parades. Now, my hometown parade is actually this Sunday, so won't be around here for the Army on Saturday or Sunday, but you know, probably keep it local around here down the Jersey Shore for the actual St. Paddy's Day, and should be a grand old weekend.
Yeah, you've got that up there. Well, down here, you know, we've got our downtown. You know, half of our downtown is going to be blocked off. We've got Kilkenny's and McNally's that are both Irish pubs that will basically be having. There's going to be two different block parties going on consecutive blocks for about five blocks. Then you've got another bar that has rented a parking lot from a couple other stores, and they have basically moved their bar from about 2 miles away from me to all the way downtown in an outside tent, or in a tent that's in this parking lot that they've got the TVs hooked up for St. Pat or for the NCAA tournament. You know, and then right across the street is the BOK Center, where today is the first round of the NCAA tournament. Right. So me and KD, we went down and watched Miami and Baylor practice yesterday. Had to, you know, come back and do my responsibilities, so I couldn't watch Kansas or Michigan State or anything like that. And then I wake up this morning and my wife has on a Michigan State shirt.
Boo.
And, well,
Sparty would like that.
All she really wants is she wants them to win today. because if they win today, that means they have to stay till Sunday, and she gets paid off of the revenue that she brings in.
Very
And
nice.
so that means it's like an extra 150, rooms that are going to be booked up for 2 more days. So that's all she really wants. Like, after she's like, they can lose on Sunday, but she just wants them to win today. So that's going to be a big game. She's going to be screaming and yelling at the TV. I'm probably going to have the in-law watch the little man, and we're going to go down to the block parties and stuff. And see, what's even crazier is both of them are not only going on today, but they're going on tomorrow as well.
Very nice.
So I'll end up getting up, running the models, putting in Domination Station, and probably going down there again tomorrow. So when you get, you don't see with what we do, we don't get to get out and do things very often. So it's kind of like when we do, we've been released from a cage, and we kind of go crazy. So,
I went out actually. Sundays are typically my day off anyway, but last week they had it, the town I live in now, Freehold, they had a parade going on, so I went out there, and that was okay. It typically, it's not what, the hometown is awesome, because if you don't like what's going on at the bars, people always got like a barbecue or something going on in their backyard. There's just multiple places that you can hit up, so that is definitely what I'm looking forward to.
yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. So we hate to say this to everybody, but guys, you're probably going to be fending on your own a lot of time, or a lot this weekend. So, because this is probably, honestly, the last like full weekend that we're going to have off until the Major League Baseball All-Star break. So, and that's not even a weekend. That's like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that we get off. So, that's probably how it's going to work. So we don't get much time off. We don't take a lot of breaks. So when we do get the chance, we're going to take it.
Yes, let the inmates run the asylum.
Oh,
All
God.
right, we've got what, 8 or 10 games
Eight.
tonight? I 8. All right, yeah, I figured that. I was right the first time. Don't
Don't
ever
scare
second
me.
guess yourself, Walsh.
As I say, don't
And
scare me.
let us just get right into this one. We got a nice little reunion going on here at what used to be called the First Union Center, but the Dallas Mavericks 3.5-point favorites against the Philadelphia 76ers. Total opened at 206, at 204 now. Mavericks won the only meeting this season, an 18-point win in Dallas, and the Mavericks have won 5 straight against the Sixers, covering 3 of those games. Dallas 11-5 as the favorite, or sorry, 11-5 against the spread as the favorite this season. Sixers, their big thing, 12 games over 500 against the spread as an underdog, and 10 games over 500 against the spread against the Western Conference. Both teams, a little bit of injury news here. Wesley Matthews is going to be questionable with the calf injury. Of course, we got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons out for the season, but we all knew that already. We got a homecoming here for Nerlens Noel tonight. He just returned back to the lineup after a 3 or 4 game hiatus, and played limited minutes. So, do you think the Mavs kind of overextend him tonight, or they're going to keep him under wraps here?
It depends. Is Mark Cuban a emotional guy?
Well, Mark Cuban does not hold the clipboard.
No, but Mark Cuban holds the keys to Rick Carlisle's paycheck.
True.
Look, Cuban
Puts the ink on
invested.
the check. I got you.
Yeah, Cuban invested a lot to get Towns, or not Towns. I'm sitting here looking at Towns' stats. To get Nerlens Noel, and Nerlens is probably going to go shake the hands of Brett Brown and everybody and go, thank you, thank you, thank you for not wanting me, because I have a better chance of winning a championship in Dallas, even though there is probably no chance, than I do in, in Philly. He wanted to stay in Philly. They didn't want him. Why? I have no idea. I think honestly what it was the fact that they could not trade Jahlil Okafor and they could Nerlens. So I think that's what it was. is they just had to get something for somebody. But yeah, I mean, I can see New Orleans kind of having a field day and a little bit of emotional battle. Now, I wouldn't even say revenge game because it's not really revenge, but it's an emotional game. I would not be surprised if the 76er fans actually gave him a pretty rousing ovation as
Oh
well.
yeah. Oh yeah, you'd think so. And we've seen Justin Anderson pop off, but not necessarily
That
what they
might
were
be where
looking
the
for
revenge is.
in a return game here. So, or I'm sorry, it wasn't necessarily what the Sixers were looking for in return for a guy Noel that, they got sixth overall. Well, I know the deal with him, I believe New Orleans drafted him sixth overall and then swapped him for Jrue Holiday. So I believe that's how it all went down. But nonetheless, still one of their, highly possessed draft picks out there. And really all they get in return is Justin Anderson, who I like as a basketball player, but I mean, not many people in the Philadelphia area are doing somersaults over that guy. I talked about this the last time we talked about the Mavericks, but we're not getting like massive fantasy point outputs from the Mavericks, but Dirk Nowitzki is the closest thing that we got. First Price has been doing pretty well. He's had, a couple 37s, a 38, a 32 in the mix. He is trending down a little bit, not much, but a little bit. You're going to have Nerlens Noel in the lineup tonight. So he definitely took a little bit of food off of Dirk's plate that last game, especially given the narrative for tonight. Could you go to Dirk, or is he a pretty safe fade?
I don't know. I've got a lot of decisions to make at power forward today, and I don't think Dirk's going to be one of them. I might have a little bit of exposure to him tonight, but he's not going to be one of the guys I'm building around. It's a good matchup. It's fine. I'm just, it's Dirk. I mean, what is really the upside that we're looking for here? Like 40? I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's
I think
not.
like the 35, 38, 40 seems to be that number that he can't crack.
Yeah, I
But
think he's better for cash games than he is for tournaments. Um,
yeah, I'd agree.
I just, you know, it's not, you know, you got guys like, Anthony Davis on the slate. You got guys like James Johnson that you can kind of go to for a little bit of savings. There's some other good ones as well that we'll get to, but it's just not the really, really big one that I really want to kind of go to on an 8-game slate. I mean, especially since it's, we know that these earlier games carry a little bit of higher ownership because everybody wants to stack them and see himself on the leaderboard and all this other stuff.
Well, not only that too, now that we're in the second half of the season, there can always be some, unforeseen scratches in some of these late games.
Yeah, so if they know that they're confirmed, they're gonna load up on them. So, make no mistake about it. This is kind of where we're, being a little bit contrarian can kind of help you and make your money a little bit if you know that he's gonna be a higher owned player. I mean, I would rather go to the other side and go to Dario Saric,
Yeah.
over Dirk. Now I think that Saric is obviously with what he's been able to do since the trade that he's going to be a little bit higher owned, but yeah, I don't mind going to Saric over Dirk as well. Like I said, I don't mind Dirk; it's just not my favorite option of the night.
Absolutely. And that's a smooth transition over to the Sixers. But before we get there, that fancy noise that you heard in the background, that was an alert from the Roto Grinders app. Wesley Matthews, who I just said is questionable to play, is now probable to play. So good that we get that as we're talking about it.
That
You
makes a
talk about
difference,
Dart.
actually.
Okay.
So, I mean, because now you're kind of looking at which guard can you touch?
Yeah, nothing.
Because now
Nothing really
you've got
makes
JJ
it
Barea.
that overwhelming.
Yeah, you've got JJ Barea in the mix. He's going to play about 20 minutes. You've got Seth Curry. You've got Yogi Ferrell, who they just gave a 2-year contract to and look to as their point guard of the future, as of right now, anyways. Now you've got Wesley Matthews. You've still got Harrison Barnes. There's a lot of higher demanding usage guys on this team. And especially in the backcourt situation where we don't really kind of know the rotation. Now they're all in good matchups, but we don't really know, you know, the rotation. If I had to choose, I would rather go to a guy like Yogi or Curry, where they've been playing, and I know that they're going to play more than 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then it would be Wesley Matthews and then J.J. Barea. Like, that's how I would rank them. And it would be Curry at the top, and then, you know, Yogi, then Matthews, then Barea.
Fair enough. All right, so, you know, we were just talking about Dario Saric. Now, we talked about this numerous times, about Saric being better at home than on the road. I pulled the numbers once again last night. Saric did improve his road numbers there on that last road trip that they just had. But Saric still averaging just over four more FanDuel points per game at home than he is on the road. And again, that's since he's become – you know, their go-to guy. That was, I guesstimated it about January 30th. So you got about probably a month and a half worth of games in that stretch there. I like Dario tonight, of course. I mean, he rarely throws up the duds at home, just as, you know, that statistic shows. So yeah, I really like him just to be a solid piece of your lineup tonight. We've got the Justin Anderson thing, which we kind of touched over a little bit. That could be an interesting part. You know, the Sixers are out of it, so I could see Brett Brown maybe giving Anderson a little bit more run in this game. And, you know, when he gets fired up, he gets fired up. The one game that comes back to recent memory for me is the one where the Knicks were in Philly and Justin Anderson just basically was clowning Melo the whole time. I wonder if, you know, we could see something similar like that. I will wonder for the rest of the day until it actually happens. But one I'm interested here, Jahlil Okafor. He had a lot of good games over that West Coast road trip. The only thing that sucks for him is that Brett Brown doesn't trust him down the stretch. Typically, what he's doing is he's playing him the first 6 minutes of each quarter, and then he brings in Rashawn Holmes for the remaining 6 minutes of each quarter. Okafor capped off the West Coast road trip with a 23-point game against the Lakers that came out to 30.8, and 22 points against the Golden State Warriors, which came out to 37.7 FanDuel points. So, you know, for 5,400, you know, and you got to think too, he's got to be fired up to go up against his old buddy Noel. I don't know if he's actually going to see him, but the fact that he's in the building should still kind of fire him up a little bit.
I think, I don't know about buddy, you know, because really, I mean, yeah, you're cool and everything because you guys are shooting for the same team. But like when people get traded, and we saw this with, you know, obviously the big one is the Durant Westbrook thing. But when people get traded, you know, their true emotional feelings kind of come out. I wonder if there's like some rivalry that, you know, we just didn't hear about, and, you know, Nerlens just wants to like slam it down in Okafor's face. Is just going to stand over him and get the automatic T, you know, and just be like, that would make for great, great TV.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting here too is that I'm sure there is some animosity, because if you remember, you know, when Joel Embiid was in the mix, right, it would be either Okafor backing him up, or it would be Noel backing him up. When Embiid was in the lineup, one of these guys just did not move their ass off the bench. The ass imprint was in the seat there. Now that the NBA
has those
nice soft cushions.
And it started out being Noel that was the odd man out.
Uh-huh. So I really wouldn't mind either one of these guys. I think that this is a very fascinating narrative, and I don't even think that you can go wrong on either one. I think any of these guys are going to be fired up to play tonight. So if we're doing an AB situation, I go C, all of the above. How you like that one?
Boom. That'll work.
Actually, D with Justin Anderson being C. So whatever. You all get the point. All right, let's get to the next one here. We've got the Chicago Bulls at the Washington Wizards. Wizards opened up as a 6.5-point favorite here with a total at 11.5. Wizards do lead the season series here, 2-1. Of course, the big news, Dwayne Wade out for the season with that elbow injury. Cameron Payne for the Bulls as well is going to be questionable with the foot. John Wall is probable for this game. There was a little bit of wonder if he was going to be out for this one, but he will be going for the Wizards tonight. A couple of interesting plays here on the Bulls. We'll start with them. I mean, of course, Jimmy Butler is going to be doing everything now that Dwayne Wade's done for the season. He did have a 64.1 FanDuel performance against this team, but he really hasn't done that well against the Wizards over the course of his career. A lot of mid-30 performances there. I think this is a little bit of a different situation, though, now with Jimmy Butler just all by him. Well, not all by himself, but without the threat of another big scoring guy in there.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, he's definitely going to take a lot of usage, and he's definitely going to be popular. And this is the first major decision I think you have to make in tournaments today is to play or to fade Jimmy Butler. I don't have a clear-cut answer yet. Obviously, my contrarian style, if, you know, on an eight-game slate at a position that is, to a point, kind of a little, you know, down a little bit today. I mean, there's not a lot of options as far as top-level flight, you know, talent at the position. I'm kind of thinking that he might be a fade for me. I might go to Giannis instead against the Lakers in a late night hammer type situation, or I could play both on DraftKings. But I mean, you've got a lot of options in the lower range, and there's some definitely some credence to, you know, fading him, because he's $1,900 more expensive than the next starting power or the next power forward on the list, and that's Robert Covington at $6,900 on DraftKings.
Who we didn't even mention in that last game.
I know, that was crazy. I just remembered that.
Probably a reason. Probably a reason.
We forgot.
We've passed him, so the time has passed. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls in this one, because you got two interesting plays here, I feel like. We've got Rajon Rondo, who's just been balling outrageous these last two games since getting the keys back to the Bulls offense. You know, he's posted massive, 36 and a 40 in these last two games. He is auditioning. And then Nikola Mirotic has actually played very well here in the last two games, 36.2 and a 25. And let's keep in mind, too, he did post a double-double against the Wizards in their first meeting all the way back on November 12th. That double-double was good enough for 39.7. I know, and you know, and everybody else knows that both Rondo and Mirotic could just get stomped out by Hoiberg here in a matter of seconds. You got any faith in either one here tonight?
No. Okay. Nikola Mirotic feels like a trap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, so for those of you that don't know the career path of who we call Hirotic, who we used to call Hirotic, he came onto the scene, I believe, it was against the Thunder on a Sunday afternoon game a couple years ago, where he just went absolutely, completely freaking bananas. And then all of a sudden he like did that for a week, and, you know, because he was so cheap and his price wasn't going up. And then, you know, as his price started to rise a little bit, you've got, you know, he started to kind of go away. And then now every, you know, when they traded Taj Gibson, you know, because he was supposed to be a pretty, you know, significant part of this offense and this team.
Right.
You know, he can stretch the floor. He can kind of clog up the middle a little bit, you know, which is something that the Bulls over the recent years have had, you know, well, probably ever since Dennis Rodman left, have had a hard time doing. It was just something that, you know, he kind of fit. But The problem was is they also have Bobby Portis, who's another DFS darling, who also kind of fits. And so that's why they had the luxury and they were able to kind of get rid of the expiring contract of Taj Gibson is because they've got these two guys. Well, the problem is they're not running these two guys out both in the same game and giving them the same amount of run. No. They're kind of flip-flopping these shits back and forth. Like, Portis will run out 30 minutes, 28 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's 20. And then Mirotić, you know, kind of fell out of the rotation because he was banged up and, you know, a lot of other things. And then Mirotić will come out and he'll go, you know, 18, 27, 20, 16, 29, 28. And, like, it just... you can't trust them. Mirotić feels like a trap. Anytime Mirotić if Chalk Mirotić beats me, fine. I'm cool with that. Because that just means that his price is going to go up, the ownership is going to keep going up, and he's not going to do this the rest of the season. So if he beats me tonight, I will get my money back. So I will be severely underweight compared to what the ownership of the field is going to be tonight.
Fair enough. What are you looking at on the Wizards side of things here?
We have to talk about the elephant in the room that just cracked.
Okay.
Paul Zipster will be starting for Dwayne Wade tonight.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
Any
I
interest?
Didn't think that was the elephant in the room, though. No.
Okay. Let's talk about the Wizards. We don't play John Wall. Not because John Wall's not a good basketball player, but, let's see what his price is first.
Hold on. He's one of my favorites. Should have been a New Jersey Brooklyn Net, but okay.
Are you going to let that go anytime soon?
No. We were the worst team in the NBA, the lottery 10-4. Balls did not fall the right way, and we end up getting Derek Favors, and the Wizards get John Wall. No, I'm not going to let it go.
Okay.
You
so,
let it go.
So here's the thing. On FanDuel, he's out of play. He's 10-4 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, however, he's 9-5. I don't mind
big
that
difference.
At DraftKings. Yeah, that's a huge difference. When you're talking about a $900 gap, and yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. It's still the same percentage as salary cap, but you usually, like, players can score more. They have the ability to score more points on DraftKings than FanDuel, so your profit margin can be bigger. I actually don't mind Wall on FanDuel. He's not somebody I'm going to be doing a lot of, but he is somebody that I will have some exposure to. I don't mind that on FanDuel, on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, I'm out on John Wall. I'd rather
get
exposure through, you know, everybody else like we've been talking about for the whole half of the season.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I don't get it with John Wall because, you know, with FanDuel, their price is typically based on what, 5 times your average fantasy points per game. And they just refuse to acknowledge that with John Wall. They're like, all right, well, we see that, you know, he averages 45.5 per game, but we're still going to make his salary like he's averaging like 52 or 53. And, you know,
yeah, but they take recent performance into account as well.
Still, I mean, you know, how often is he hitting 50s? Not that often. So
he was there for a while though. Like he was hitting, that was pretty much what he was doing there for a while. Like it was now not exactly 50, but you know, 51.9, 49.8, 46.6, 57.
I see. You know, against these scumbag teams. Yeah, sure. That works.
So you've got a gap between, I mean, his floor was literally 35, but his ceiling was, you know, he had a 57.8. I think there was a 60 in there somewhere. Nope. 57.8 was his high in the last like 20 games. So, I mean, you're talking about he as far as cash games. I mean, you've got a $2,700 gap today. between John Wall and Goran Dragic, which is the next highest price point guard that's actually going to be playing.
Yes, that is healthy, not dead. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you could pretty much just, you know, with John Wall, lock him in and know that you're going to get 35 to 55 points out of him, which is great, as long as he's healthy, mind you, which we'll find out throughout the day. But, I mean, that's what you look for in a cash game point guard. If I'm anchoring my – if I was just a cash game grinder, I would anchor my lineups with guys like Russell Westbrook and John Wall all the time. But as far as tournaments, I just – there's no profit there for John Wall.
Yeah, I hear you. Anybody else that we're looking at here? I mean, I really don't have anybody that I'm too interested in, so you can take away this Wizards segment.
I don't mind going to Marquise Morris.
Thanks.
You know, just a little bit of light exposure in tournaments, but, you know, Bojan can always, if you're scripting, making multiple lineups. I mean, Bojan's always a guy that you can throw in there because he can always, you know, get hot and relegate Kelly Oubre to not Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter to a bench role. So I mean, yeah, there's some sprinkles in here, some fillers, but not anything I'm too excited about.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, let's get to the next one. Yeah, Toronto Raptors at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons 3.5 point favorites here. Over under 199.5. I tried to make that sound appealing, but I just could not. Teams have split the season series here. The last one being a 1 point win for the Pistons in Toronto. Pistons have covered 6 of the last 9 versus the Raptors, and 7 of the last 9 Pistons Raptors games have gone over the total. Toronto on the back end of a back-to-back, they are 7-9 in those situations this year. 11-8-2 against the spread as the underdog. Not very good on the road. 5 games under 500 against the spread on the road. The Pistons, though, 8 games over 500 against the spread as a favorite, and 7 games over 500 against the spread at home. Only big injury for this one is Kyle Lowry, of course. Nothing particularly nagging anybody on the Pistons. Where are you looking here?
I have a question. You said that back to back was 7-9. Is that against the spread or just straight up?
No, that's straight up.
Okay. I'm out, honestly. I mean, you're talking about getting blown out by the Thunder last night, then having to travel, go through customs, you know, and then go to Detroit, where Detroit plays better at home. Don't make any mistake about it. They play. The pace is going to favor their side a little bit more than, you know, the Raptors. I think KCP is going to be locked down on DeMar DeRozan. So I'm not really too excited about that. Other than that, I mean, not really anything with Damari Carroll back in there that kind of regulates Norman Powell and PJ Tucker to backup role playing duties. And I mean, there's just not a lot to like about it. What's Corey Joseph at? Because we've been attacking point guards or the Detroit point guard situation for a while now. Corey Joseph is 48 on. I almost called him Corey. I saw Reggie Jackson and was thinking Corey Joseph. He's 48.
Corey Jack.
Yeah, Corey Jackson. Jarrett Jack. He's 4,800 on FanDuel. He is a whopping 4,800 on DraftKings. I'd probably go with him on FanDuel unless I wanted to use Joseph as a shooting guard on DraftKings, but that's probably the only place I'd be going. So,
okay. I'm worried. Jonas Valanciunas, the minutes are not coming as frequently. I know yesterday they got their ass kicked, but even the 2 games before that, like, it makes no sense because he was playing very well. And, you know, even one of the games, I think
he got
in
foul
minutes.
Trouble last night.
Okay.
He had 3 fouls, like, with the quickness. And I was listening to because I was listening to the Thunder broadcast as I was doing some stuff around the house, And the Thunder, Matt Pinto was unaware that Lucas Nogueira had or had been regulated to bench warming duties, and they were surprised that Jakob Poeltl came off the bench. And he goes, "That mean he goes like Valanciunas just picks up his third foul. That probably means that we're gonna see Lucas Nogueira at 6'7", 270 or whatever it was." He's like, "Oh, I'm mistaken. It's Jakob Poeltl. I don't know why that is. That's surprising to me." And I'm sitting there going, "Matt, I know you're entrenched in the Thunder, but please do some research." I love Matt Pinto. He's a great guy. I'm probably gonna try to have him come on the show at one point, but we talk back and forth on Twitter all the time, so.
Yeah, probably talk all Thunder and I'd fall asleep and
No, we wouldn't. We'd talk. He's very, very knowledgeable about the NBA. He actually, if I remember correctly, he used to like you. The next time the Clippers and the Thunder play, you should just listen to the Thunder radio broadcast and just listen to the just the utter hatred that he has for the Clippers and the Clippers organization. Like,
Okay, I'm down with
it
that.
is. It's like he spits fire, dude. It is unbelievable
I
and
actually
quite
would be
funny.
interested in that. I mean, you want to rip any team but the Nets, we could do that any day of the week. I'm game for that. What are we doing on the Pistons here? Because it looks like they should be in a good spot tonight. Just looking at the rosters, there's so much better, than the Raptors right now with what they got going on. So, I think this could be a decent spot to attack here.
Andre Drummond. I mean, if you want to take a shot with Ish Smith, who's 4,100 on FanDuel, and he's 44 on DraftKings, or sorry, scrap that. He's 44 on FanDuel and 41 on DraftKings. He's going to play anywhere between 20 to 26 minutes. Going to get you right around that 20 fantasy points. I don't mind it just in case, it's risky, but here's what you're banking on with that is that Reggie Jackson pisses Jeff Van Gu or Van Gundy off, and that he lets Ish get some extended run. That's pretty much what you're hoping for. So be happy with 20, but if you can get to that 25 to 28 mark, as far as minutes, then he could put up a 30 spot, which could, especially at low ownership, could vary. Because I mean, Corey Joseph is not is not something to be scared of as far as defensive wise. But yeah,
Yeah,
I mean.
I was gonna say for most of the season he was the fourth. He was the fourth worst on-ball defender, and then he improved all the way to the 10th worst on-ball defender out of point guards. But I think a lot of that came with
I
playing
think
more
he's a
all the
little
minutes that he
better
has
than
been
what
lately.
those numbers show, but because he was playing such a limited sample size being the backup point guard, if he'd get exposed against, the starting point guard a little bit more. It's not like I mean, we're sitting here discussing the viability of Corey Joseph defense. It's not like he's a great point guard, as far as defensive wise, but I think it's better than I think he's still below average, but I think he's better than what those numbers kind of show.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, just to tack hate onto Corey Joseph's defense, John Wall almost put up 60 on him, so that's how bad he is. Yeah, I went there. I went there. I
I know you
certainly
did.
did. Okay, I'm not that excited about anything going on. I like DeAndre Drummond play. I guess maybe some Tobias Harris, maybe Marcus Morris, but other than that, we can move on.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right. Boston Celtics -9 on St. Paddy's Day at my Brooklyn Nets. Over under 220 and a half here. Celtics have won both meetings this season. Six games under 500 as the favorite this season against the spread, but five games over 500 500 against the spread on the road. Brooklyn is on the back end of back-to-back where they are winless this season at 0-12 outright. You're definitely going to see Sean Kilpatrick and Joe Harris out for this one for the Nets, but since they're on the back end of back-to-back, I would not be surprised if Karis LeVert, Jeremy Lin, and or Brook Lopez all sit this one out. All of them, you know, have had some injury concerns in the past. Obviously, LeVert and Lin a lot more recently, but you know, there's no need for Brooklyn to be going out there and, you know, trying out their future. I mean, look, we've seen how well the Nets have been playing with Jeremy Lin in the lineup, so I would hope that they just sit him down tonight. And then, of course, for the Celtics, you're going to have Isaiah Thomas out, not only for tonight, but the next game as well. A little bit of a bone bruise there on the knee. So let's start with the Celtics, since we know already who's out. Who's going to get this huge bump here? I mean, we've got a – got a lot of cheap guys going up against the fastest paced team in the NBA and also the third worst defense. So a lot of good targets here.
Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, probably going to get the immediate usage in the backcourt. Marcus Smart's already been named the starter, which is, you know, always fun. And he fills up every category. I mean, we saw it when Avery Bradley was out. He'd have pretty good games, and then he'd have, you know, a shit game. But the shit games usually depend on whether or not his jumper is falling. It has nothing to do with the defensive statistics. He's going to get your steals. He's also going to flop about five times a game, kind of like James Harden does. But, you know, those are your two. I could legitimately – they're 64 and 6,300 on FanDuel. I could legitimately see them playing 30 plus minutes, and you could make a case for, you know, putting them in the same lineup together, because they're going to be playing different positions tonight, and I don't think a lot of people are going to do that.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad way to roll. Avery Bradley, you know, I'm going to be really stupid about this one, but I remember in the preseason he absolutely tore up the Nets, same exact team that I'll probably be seeing tonight. So that's something to take a look at. I figure Marcus Smart, I would say, you know, because we've seen Avery Bradley with some, you know, with some health issues. So, you know, maybe there's a chance that they really don't try to overextend him tonight. So in my opinion, I think Marcus Smart would be the smarter play, just because I would figure that we see him guaranteed to play at least 35 minutes, just given, you know, the other situations that we have with this team. And you brought up a good point about Terry Rozier today.
Yeah. Now you have to take one of the narratives away, but it is his birthday. He plays for the Celtics on St. Paddy's Day. I mean, you've got to at least have one lineup, you know, one narrative street lineup with Terry Rozier out there, right?
Absolutely. Luck of the Irish, my friend.
I mean, he's playing 14 minutes a game, but he's pretty productive. They really do like him. I mean, a lot of teams wanted to trade for him, and one of the reasons why they didn't get Boogie is because, or Jimmy Butler, is because they didn't want to get rid of Terry Rozier. So I think that's a great, great play in tournaments. I think he's going to be a little bit more popular than what I'm thinking right now, just off the top of my head. But I think in tournaments, he's definitely worth a shot.
Yeah, a lot of green narrative there that certainly makes sense. So that works. You've also got Jay Crowder, Al Horford, both fairly cheap in this one. Any interest there? Sorry.
Maybe some Al Horford. I don't really have a lot of interest in Jay Crowder. I don't have a lot of interest in Jay Crowder. He's one of those guys that's going to go out and, you know, put up 15 fantasy points in the first quarter, and then just he'll end up with 20. So I just don't have a lot of interest there.
Fair enough. Yeah, especially if the Nets go without Lopez here. Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of undersized bigs, probably like a more Justin Hamilton, maybe a little more Andrew Nicholson, Trevor Booker, guys like that playing center for the Nets. So,
Trevor Booker is firmly on the radar because he rested last night.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So I love the Trevor Booker play.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we can cover the Nets here for a quick sec, but if all those guys are out, this is going to be more of a Slack channel sort of thing. And look, I called RHJ over LeVert last night for everybody in the channel. You know, I know my Nets. I'm like one of three people on the face of the earth, and the other two are Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks. So, you know, we'll figure it all out. But as of right now, I don't know who's going to sit, but I have a feeling it's going to be pretty much everybody. So
there you go.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right. Let's get to the next one here. We've got the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Miami Heat. Heat 4.5-point favorites here. Over-under is at 208.5. Heat won the only meeting this season, a 2-point win in Minnesota. And the Heat have covered 4 of their last 5 versus the Timberwolves. Timberwolves, 5 games under 500 against the spread, both as an underdog and on the road. The Heat have so many good against the spread numbers. I'm just going to, like, they're all good. And I'm just going to say, at home as the favorite in their last 19 games versus teams with the losing record and in March home games over the last 3 seasons, they're all nearly 10 games over 500 against the spread. So that should tell you something for how this one goes tonight. In terms of injuries in this one, none for the Heat, but for the Timberwolves. Of course, you got LaVine out for the season, but Nemanja Bjelica, who I finally mentioned on the podcast, of course, he gets hurt that same day. He's out with a foot injury, and then Lance Stephenson also out with an ankle injury. Boy, a lot in there in the preview. So what is most appealing to you? Don't get so excited.
See, that's the thing. I don't know. Maybe Gorgui Dieng. Now, no, not even. I mean, oh, maybe James Johnson. Deion Waiters had a bad game last game. I wouldn't be opposed going back to him. Trying to capitalize off of maybe a little bit lower ownership. It just. This game is almost kind of a we don't like playing the Timberwolves on the road. It's just not something that has turned out to be profitable with us. I don't mind
or anyone.
Yeah, or anyone really. I don't mind a little bit of James Johnson maybe. I want whoever's going to see Karl-Anthony Towns, whether that be Hassan Whiteside or James Johnson. I want the most exposure to either one of those.
Okay. All right. So we're looking here to who could fill in here for Bjelica and. Stevenson. Well, that's what I was looking
Michael
at anyway.
Beasley?
But what's up?
I just said Michael Beasley, and I don't think that's even remotely close.
No. Is it maybe like a Shabazz
Jordan
Muhammad?
Hill,
I mean,
Shabazz Muhammad.
He played 31 minutes in Boston the other night. 28.1 FanDuel points. He's at 3,700. He could be an interesting play. I like Shabazz. I would not mind more Shabazz in my life. So,
okay,
and it's not just because I like saying Shabazz.
You can have that, but I don't Shabazz. Want it.
Okay, fair enough.
Just off the topic, I really hate what FanDuel has done. By every time you click on something, it goes back to all instead of staying on one game.
I was just experiencing that because I'm like, am I going crazy hitting buttons that I don't even
know
about?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You thought I was going crazy?
No, I thought I was going crazy. Lance Stephenson's out, so
you're
maybe
crazy.
This is Brandon Rush time. He's been playing the minutes, close to 30 minutes. The problem is he's not doing hardly anything with them because he's literally going to be like the fifth option. So, damn it. How much is he? He's 3,500. I guess he's worth maybe a flyer. If you're putting in 150 entries or 50,
maybe.
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm trying to like. I like the Shabazz Muhammad idea. I'm gonna look into this a lot further, but I mean, look, it's no coincidence that he played 28 minutes when Bolika, you know, got injured in that game and hardly played at all because he got injured very early in that game.
But if you're telling me that Shabazz Muhammad is gonna be chalk, I'm out.
Well, maybe I'm not telling you that. Maybe nobody knows about. Maybe everyone's kind of checked out on the Timberwolves and they don't even think about Shabazz.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to think. It's kind of a tougher matchup, though, too. I mean, I understand he's 3,700. He played the minutes, but it's not necessarily the easiest matchup going up. Now, if he gets Luke Babbitt or Rodney McGruder, then yeah. But James Jones can be a freaking gnat. And we've talked about how we don't mess with James Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll probably see James Jones on Karl Anthony Towns, I would think.
Yeah.
Get Dang that on means
white that,
side.
That means that Dang's on white side. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to look and see exactly how they did this. Because I want whoever's going to be on the majority of Hassan Whiteside. Or I want to attack Whiteside and Towns, but I don't know who with. And I know that sucks for radio, but it's the truth. I'd rather give you I don't know than a kind of a half-hearted, you know, bullshit answer. And
I'm going to try to figure this out here while we're on the air.
Oh, that makes for even better radio.
Everyone, please hold. Yeah. No, I mean, while we're talking about it, I could pull up the video from that first game and say.
Oh, damn. Oklahoma State plays in right now? Sheesh. Yeah, they're the only Oklahoma team to make the NCAA tournament.
A lot of jersey in the tournament. Well, two, actually. But still, that's a lot of jersey. Small state.
I don't know. I think Ricky Rubio is going to be popular with Karl Anthony Towns. I think they both are. I mean, we like playing them on the road. I can't play them at home, or we like playing them at home. I can't play them on the road, and especially the way that Miami's been playing against guards lately. It's not something that I kind of really want to attack. At this point in the year, I'm kind of if you're even close to being a bad matchup, I just don't want to attack you. And that's what's bad about it is, you know, Miami has been very, very good against the backcourt, you know, this season. You know, there's been games where they've, you know, kind of let things kind of slip through the cracks and not played as well. But more times than not, that's not kind of what's happening. So I'm kind of out on the Ricky Rubio train. It was fun while it lasted.
Oh, I think you could probably go back there at some point, but I don't know. I don't really feel like it tonight. Oh, my God.
Why yeah, that's that what I'm saying. It's not tonight, so. But. I don't got anything else.
Yeah, me neither.
I was trying to allow you to find that video, and
I thought I was hysterical because I had to first off find out what day they played on, right? So I can go back, and so I ended up going to ESPN, and they have the highlights of the game, and I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna find it out through this. No shot. Like the camera angles for that were just absolutely terrible.
There you go.
Speaking of terrible, my Oklahoma State might be the worst team I've ever watched play basketball. They are terrible, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, you just had to throw that one out there on the pod.
I did. Because I knew everybody was going to pick Michigan after they won the Big Ten tournament. So I like to go with some different ones in there that you know.
Dude,
everybody
it's 5 minutes
else.
Into the game.
I know, but that's all it takes for
you're
me to
worse
see
than
that
our,
they can't play basketball.
You're worse
no,
than
no, 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 no.
Dude, you're worse than our
There's
freaking
a lot
slap
of
shot
guys here.
community.
All right, so by the way, I'm Gorgie Dang on Whiteside.
Then it's gorgeous dong.
Yeah.
Let's have us some dong.
Hey. All right. Let's get to the next one here. We've got the Houston Rockets at the New Orleans Pelicans. Rockets, 5-point favorites here, over under 227.5. Rockets have won both meetings this season by more than, well, one was 22, the other was 30. Rockets have won 7 of the last 10 versus the Pelicans. 7 of the last 10 Pelicans-Rockets games have gone under the total. Rockets, 12 games over 500 against a spread on the road, 14 games over 500 against a spread versus teams with a losing record this season. For the Pelicans, Jarrett Jack, Omar Asik, both out with their own personal issues, and nothing of injury news for the Rockets in this one. I said this the last time that these two teams played, because this was the first game that Boogie played with the Pelicans was against the Rockets, and that game was only a 3-point spread. And I said to you, if not verbatim, I said there's no way that these slow, fat son of bitches are going to be able to get back on defense against the Rockets. And what do you know? The game started out okay for the Pelicans, but as these big idiots start, huffing and puffing, the Rockets are just going to blow them out of the gym on the fast break. So that's where my everything for me comes from. But Anthony Davis and Boogie can still have good games for the Pelicans here.
Yeah, I mean they can. It's not definitely not out of the realm of possibilities. Boogie's price is still too cheap. I don't know why they keep thinking that they need to. They're gonna make us keep playing him. And this is a good matchup. And I mean I don't know. That's my Boogie Cousins rant. Let's see here. New Orleans is on a 3-4. Can we go to Anthony Davis here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Look,
Hold
I'm
on. I
just.
mean, we're talking about the Rockets, who are, they're, you got the Thunder, the Lakers, the Rockets. These are all three teams jockeying for that, worst team against, teams giving up the most points in the paint this season. So yeah, you could certainly get it with those two. And again, both of them are going to shoot threes and, just basically take all the shots with the Pelicans. They've both got phenomenal matchups in the height and size differential, with whoever the Rockets are going to throw their way. So yeah, I like both of them,
Okay, because I'm
but they'll
not
still get their
sure.
ass blown out by 25.
Want to put some money on that one?
Yeah, I do. There's no
You see,
way
you're
that
gonna say Rockets. You're gonna give me a minus
I can't give
25
you
Rockets.
Pelicans plus 25.
Well, you
I'm
just
just,
said
you know.
25. I'm saying
That's a huge that like that that's not even the
you're the one
number
that
for these
said it
1 versus
though.
16 games.
You're
No.
the one that said it though.
All right, Captain Literal, relax for, all right, bro. Like, I'll give you like 12.
Ooh, so you're what, doubling up the Vegas line?
No, double.
What is
Oh,
the
like, I'll give you
spread?
12 points. Like, no.
You're more than doubling. It's a 4.5 point line.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 point thing there. But I don't think there's any way the Pelicans can keep this close if the Rockets are running up and down on them. If this were like mid-season, I would say I would feel a lot more comfortable betting you money. But what? Who in March here? Who the hell knows what's gonna happen?
And that's why I'm talking about
I'm
like
not ch I am not chicken that. Like, I still think they're
no,
gonna
that's
do
not
it,
what I was gonna
but.
say. That's why I'm saying like we can't predict blowouts because like this is a 4.5 point spread and yet you're thinking that it's gonna be a freaking blowout. And last night it was a 2.5 point line between the Thunder and the Raptors and it ended up being like a 25 point win.
Yeah. Well, the last time the Rockets played the Pelicans, it was a 3-point spread, and it was a 30-point game, so.
Yeah, I mean, we don't predict blowouts, and It's better off to not do that.
Let's not put the we in there. I'm not
okay,
involved in that.
Let me put it this way. I don't predict blowouts, and I end up doing a lot better at finding low-owned players that end up getting looked over because everybody's afraid to play them in a blowout. My whole thing is I would rather be screwed by the game blowing out than missing out on, you know, a Klay Thompson or a Steph Curry that end up playing, you know, four and a half or four quarters.
Yeah.
And so that's my whole thing behind it.
Okay, but I did say, like, I still think that AD and Boogie, like I just said this minutes ago,
right,
where said AD and Boogie are going to get theirs. They're both great plays, but they're probably going to get blown out by 25.
But
I'm not saying that you have to avoid any Pelicans, but they are going to get their ass kicked. I mean, you know, we talked to a couple of bettors here too, so.
I know, but by the way that you're talking about that, you're sitting there. Oh, yeah, by the way, your Oklahoma State that sucks, they're tied with Michigan. Bro.
They obviously listen to the podcast on the court.
But you're talking about, you know, so by what you're saying with your analysis of this game, I should fade Harden and Davis and go to Boogie, who's the cheaper of the three, and
no, you know, no, I'm not saying that, because if you look at the two games, right, you got – here's the scores of the two games. Rockets, 122, Pelicans, 100. Rockets, 129, Pelicans, 99. So, no, I'm not saying fade anybody. I can throw my 2 cents in there and say that people are going to get their ass kicked without having to fade them.
I don't know.
I didn't say to fade anybody.
I'm probably not playing Harden. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, he's had one game over 60 since the All-Star break.
What was that? Say that again.
He's had
Sorry.
One game over 60 fantasy points since the All-Star break.
Right.
I can't play 11-8 for 58 fantasy points with no ceiling.
Well, here's the thing, right? So with Russell Westbrook last night, now, you know, I'm a little guilty of it myself sometimes too, but, you know, I feel like Harden, we pay up to 12 for the guarantee that we're going to get like 45. Like, we're paying up so that we know we're going to get some points. So like Westbrook last night, I remember somebody was talking to us about, all right, well, there's no way that he can hit 5X at 13.5. Like, yeah, 75 is a very tough number to get to, but we paid that much because we were guaranteed 60 points. So, I mean, it's kind of
right,
in the same realm with James Harden.
But it's not, because we do it because Russell is hitting 6 and 7X at times. He's putting up 75. You know, and he's doing it almost consistently. James Harden isn't right now. I'm not saying that he's not capable of doing it. And I'm not saying you should totally 100%, you know, fade James Harden. Can he go out there and do that? Yes, he can. I'm not saying he's not possible of doing it. He's just not needing to do it right now. Because he's got Lou Williams, because he's got Trevor Ariza, because he's got Ryan Anderson. Is this on the road?
Yeah.
He's got Ryan Anderson going back to, you know, because
at his old stomping grounds.
Right, because of these situations, because he's not having to work as hard and do as much, he's not needing to put up the 60s. So whether it's the same scenario, but different ways of look, or not different ways of looking. You're looking at it the same way, but it's different players and situations on how they're dealing with it. Because make no mistake about it, if the Thunder want to win, Russ has to put up triple-double like numbers. Harden doesn't need to.
He's still doing it. He's albeit with 9 turnovers in 31 minutes last game. Good God.
Yeah. I mean,
you
expect high turnover rates out of high usage players anyways. It kind of just happens, you know. But I mean, he's still putting up triple doubles, yeah, but he doesn't have to do it. You know, he could go out there. He could go out there like against Utah and put up 35, 4, and 6 with 6 turnovers, and you're looking under 50. You know, he can go put up he can only score 19 points in 33 minutes like he did against Chicago. You know, I mean, he could go out there against, like the last time they played New Orleans, go out there and put up 13 and 14 and only give you a 40 and do that in 30 minutes.
That was unfortunate.
You know, and
he was the cover guy that day. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, just it's I would rather get my exposure through who I think, because Harden's going to carry higher ownership, I would rather get my exposure to Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella has been playing well, Trevor Ariza. I mean, I would rather go to these secondary guys and sprinkle them in to different lineups to get my exposure to James Harden, you know, rather than paying 11.5 and hoping to God he gets me 50 or 55.
Right.
And then hoping for a ceiling of 60, 65, you know, because that's really kind of what his ceiling is right now. Now, if for some reason one of these guys is ruled out, then yes, load up on James Harden because his situation changes. But right now, with the way that the situation is, I just, on an 8-game slate, I just can't do it.
All right. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. All right. Let's get to next one here. Oh, God. Well, we only have 2 games left, so that part's good, but might be pulling teeth here. Orlando Magic at the Phoenix Suns. Suns, 2.5-point favorites here, over under at 221. That number kind of sucks with the 2.5 there, since the Magic just played last night in Golden State of all places. But the Suns did win the only meeting of the season. That was a 5-point win for them in Orlando. Suns have won 4 of the last 5 against the Magic, covered 3 of those 5 in the span. Magic 5-13 against the spread after allowing 115 points or more, just as they did last night. Phoenix not very good against the spread as a favorite. 6 games under 500 there, and but they are very good against Eastern Conference against the spread this season at 17-6. Injury news for both sides: Jody Meeks questionable with the thumb injury. He's been out for a long time. And then for the Suns, Brandon Knight, Dragan Bender, Derek Jones Jr., and Leandro Barbosa are all questionable for their own various reasons.
I think Knight's shut down for the season.
Okay.
I thought I just saw that.
All right, that's fine. And of course, Eric Bledsoe shut down for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah.
Just let that one go. That's kind of a big one right there. So without Bledsoe, without Knight, I mean, Tyler Hughes can basically get like 48 minutes tonight, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's going to be as chalky as hell. I don't know what to do, because who else plays point guard for the freaking Phoenix Suns?
Devin Booker at times.
Ronnie Price.
It doesn't mean they have to like it. Oh, God. You know Archie Goodwin is on the Nets now?
Yes,
he signed a 10-day contract?
Yes, because we released him. So... I definitely can see, a lot of Tyler Ulis ownership tonight.
The most, so much.
And, I'm not even going to worry about, he's 5,400 on FanDuel. I hate that new interface. It is driving me freaking bonkers.
Uh-huh.
Let's see here. I know this is great radio. Okay, so Tyler Ulis is 5,700 on DraftKings. Jesus. Yeah, Tyler, I mean, just play your Suns. Don't, I mean, the same guys that we talk about every single time, you know, Alan Williams, Marquise Chris, TJ Warren. It's your starting 5 is who you want. to target for the Suns, and there's nobody else in that. So because I don't, what is Alex Len going to play? Okay, other than Alex Len, you're starting five other than Alex Len, and instead of Alex Len, just sub in Alan Williams. There you go.
Okay, sounds good.
Easy analysis,
sounds
right?
Good to me. Yeah, indeed. What about for those old Magic Sun bitches?
I'm going to have to do some.
By the way, somebody had I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of the greatest tweets of all time. I have no idea who sent it. It was just, you know, somebody that I follow retweeted it, and they said, what was it? DJ Augustine, Jeff Green, and I think CJ Watson on the floor at the same time. They said, Magic fans, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
It's so good. So good and to the point.
Yeah, no kidding. So, I wonder if they're going to sit Vooch tonight. That was so tilting last night. He only played 24 minutes. You're looking at as my wife calls me during our show. Awesome. I mean, it's a good matchup, so I don't mind as long as we don't get word that some of these guys are going to sit. That's kind of what scares me tonight, is that somebody's going to sit. Elfrid Payton's got a good matchup, obviously. I think this could be an Evan Fournier type game. And then Aaron Gordon. So.
Yeah. I got nothing. it's going to come down a lot to who's actually playing for the Magic tonight. You know, this is a glorified D game of sorts. So, yeah, another one that you'll be great to be in the Slack chat channel for.
Yeah,
sure.
No kidding. So it's a lot of unknown with this.
I wanted to ask you, because I don't know why I have to ask it now. I guess I could ask after the pod, but maybe some people on the pod will hear it. Why do Southerners love Dr. Pepper so much?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's like
Oklahoma
water.
Why is it like, you know, holy water down south?
I have no idea.
So good. So I actually might go get a couple. I must have drank about 15 Dr. Peppers that day.
Yeah, I have no idea. So.
All right, Milwaukee, this is the grand finale of the night. Milwaukee Bucks at the LA Lakers. Lakers actually took the first meeting of this series this season. That was an 8-point win at Milwaukee. Actually, it's a lot worse than 8 points at times of that game. Bucks, 6 games under 500 against the spread on the road, 9 games under 500 against the spread versus teams with a losing record this season. Lakers just suck. You don't even need the against the spread numbers because they're not good at all. Only injuries here, we've got Michael Beasley out with a knee injury for the Bucks. Jabari Parker, of course, out for the season with the torn ACL. And then Nick Young, questionable with the finger injury. Zubac disappointed us greatly the other night, and can we go back to him?
Yeah.
Say yes. Yeah. Good. I'm going back.
Yeah.
It's the Bucks.
I mean, we can.
Bucks. I'm going to go back.
Okay.
I mean, this is how these things work, right? Guy just royally screws us as the chalk, and then – yeah, everybody, oh, forget that. I mean, I must have seen 20 people in the Slack chat. Right? Oh, forget Zubac. I'm never playing him again. And then the same thing with Hernan Gomez for the Knicks last night. I'm never playing him again. Wow, he's going to have the night of his life tonight.
Okay.
And was it Zubac? He was just in foul trouble the other night against the Rockets. I don't see that happening again. I feel like he probably learned a good lesson. I mean – yeah, I don't know how old he is, but when I was probably around that age, or when I was around that age that he probably is, you know, coaches have a way of making you listen. So I have a feeling he'll have a pretty good one here tonight.
I mean, I can see it, but I mean, couldn't you just see the Bucks putting Greg Monroe on him and just making Zubac feel like a little child? And I don't mean that like in a bad way, but let's be honest. I mean,
well, I don't know how you put that in a good way.
Well, because Zubox is 19 years old.
Right.
He's a 19-year-old rookie, and like if you take a picture of him now compared to a picture of him in like say 5 years, you're going to see a man compared to a boy. I mean, it's just the way that
full grown beard.
That wouldn't shock me either. I just
no, I think we can both see each side that we laid out there for the people. You know, it's certainly possible. I would rather see. Yeah, you know, look, the thing too here, you got Zubac got a lot of rest in that last game. Obviously, it seemed like, you know, every time he was on the floor, he just got a foul. So, you know, to be honest with you, it might be a good thing for Greg Monroe too, because you might see Zubac even play a little softer than usual. You know, he might be like, all right, well, I kind of like playing, so maybe I won't. I might not be as handsy, but you know, we're not really looking for that many points out of him on the defensive end. I'd like a block or two, sure, but I just want the guy to score some damn points and get rebounds.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit what he does on the defensive end.
There you go. You think he's gonna be timid?
yeah, a little bit. It just seems natural, right? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to put myself in the head of Zubac, which is, you know, I don't think anyone's ever been there, but. That's how I would react. So,
okay, yeah, I could see that. It's definitely an option. I'm more worried about what are we going to do with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey, well, you know, he took on the Clippers last. I really didn't watch too much of the game, but who was defending him?
Giannis.
Yeah.
It was kind of a little bit of everybody. They had Paul on him at some points. They had Blake on him at some points. I mean, he had good moments in that game, but just overall they kept switching it up so much that he could never kind of really get into a rhythm.
Good idea.
Yeah, so that is that's definitely something that I'm really, really, really kind of wanting to figure out, because you would think going up against the Lakers, he's going to be pretty chalky tonight, right?
Sure. Last game of the night, people want their late night hammer.
So the question is do you use it as a block or do you play it and because it's a good play and then just try to sprinkle in some Chris Middleton and some Greg Monroe at the same time?
I think you play Antetokounmpo here because, look, you know, we were just talking about what the Clippers did to him last game. There's nobody that the Lakers have to do that to him. You know, even if they do want to switch off with other people against him, who's it going to be? Nobody. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much resistance. We're going to see him in an up-tempo sort of setting. That works out for him as well. I think you play him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like Giannis tonight. And what's weird is the domination station is not agreeing with me.
Really? That's unfortunate.
And it's just like the initial runs and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of going to be some adjustments made. But
can I give you two numbers that might make you agree with me? Last two times Giannis Antetokounmpo has faced the LA Lakers, 69.4, 64.6. Those are FanDuel points, by the way. Yeah.
Just one of them I know was last year against Kobe, which we know
that
Giannis.
Yeah, that was probably the last one then.
Okay, let me put it this way. I like Giannis better on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel. because he's under 10K. I think he's still in play on FanDuel. I like him better on DraftKings. And I would not even kind of be so opposed to, you know, if you're going through it, instead of like running James Harden in your cash lineups, running Giannis, because it's a $1,400 difference. Sorry, $1,300 difference. So,
I just had to throw this out there as well. Last time Giannis faced the Lakers, 41 real points.
Jesus.
41 real points.
Yeah, I mean, and we can't even say like there's travel. Here's something that's funny. What do you think about, like, I firmly believe that no team should be able to face the Lakers and the Clippers in successive games.
I think it works out, and especially, you know, because with all the rugged travel that they have.
Oh, don't,
you know, during
even.
The NBA
you could
season.
Go down to Sacramento and then come back up to L.A.
But that's stupid. That's stupid.
Or go to Golden State and then come back over. Or...
And the
I
same
understand
goes
because...
for when people play the Knicks and the Nets. They
okay,
should do
see,
it on
the
same
the
road
thing,
trip.
Is the Lakers just had to come back, and they were just on the road and had on a two-game road trip. Now they have to come back when, you know, Milwaukee's been in L.A. I know this is semantics, but Milwaukee's been in L.A. for damn near a week.
They probably love it. I'd like to be in L.A. for a week. Shit, man. Shit. Especially on an NBA salary. Shit, man.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's the only way I'd be able to afford being in
L.A.
for a
week. Do we
know
that? Do we have confirmation that none of these guys got in trouble over the last 4 days?
I don't. I'm sure somebody got in trouble, but, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot, so this is a win that they need to have. So I would assume that, you know, it's full force go here.
Okay. Alrighty.
Anybody from the Lakers besides Zubac? Any like Randall or Clarkson or Ingram?
I don't mind
Ingram
Julius
really.
Rand. I don't
sucked it up against the
Ingram
Bucks last
is the
time.
Utter epitome of a guy that can play 35 minutes and get you 14 points and literally do nothing on the court.
He or really puts he my – he'll just fall ass backwards into points theory to real shit.
Yeah, or he can play 25 and go for 35. But that's you before. Never know. See, here's the problem with the Lakers. One, they perform better in the Staples Center. We know that. They're a young team. Of course they do. Okay? So, yes, in tournaments I don't mind getting a little bit of exposure to, you know, Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle. But you can't count on them. Even at, their depressed price with what – I mean – there's no way you can count on him. Not with Luke Walton.
No.
So.
Nah.
I mean, yeah, I can't do it in cash. I mean, I'll run on FanDuel. I'll run just the optimized domination station lineup out there just to see, you know, to kind of keep track what we've been doing.
Right.
But. Like my own personal, not gonna do it. So
fair enough.
But yeah, I just you can't trust them. I mean, I posted the other day in Slack the fantasy points per game for each of those guys at home versus on the road, and every one of them, you know, is obviously higher on the road or at home, but. My goodness gracious. It is some of them, like Julius Randle's splits, like home road splits, are freaking, like, they're Kemba Walker-esque.
Whoa.
And then I said that, and he goes out and he puts up a 45 in Houston or Dallas.
Are
you or
Saric-esque?
No, not quite that. Or it's more drastic. If I remember correctly, it's more drastic. It's like it's literally like a 9-point swing.
Wow.
So.
Definitely going to bring that up today. In Walsh's way, which should be out for the people around 5 o'clock Eastern, same time as Boomers Ballers. The free square should be out around 3 o'clock as well. And if you're not joined up with us, you won't have access to all of those features, but make sure you do so. DFSArmy.com, use the promo code podcast. Get also that Slack chat that we've been talking about, all sorts of other good things as well. So just make sure you signed up with us. We got baseball coming up too. A lot of great things coming there. And the people can't wait for baseball either. So that gets me a little more excited about it. But once again, happy St. Patty's Day to you, Keith. And, you know, be safe over the weekend.
Yep. May the luck of the Irish be with you. And just want to let everybody know, I'm going to try to have things out a little bit quicker today. I received word. You want to know the reason why my wife called?
I'm sure it's a good one.
Oh, it's a great one.
I'm going to the game?
Yep, we're going to the afternoon session of the NCAA tournament tonight.
Nice, very cool.
So I will be watching Kansas and Michigan State live from the BOK Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So be looking for it. I don't know where.
Yeah,
where
make sure you wear no shirt so we can spot you out.
Dude, that is not a pleasant sight. Like, and I'm not fat either, but it's just not a pleasant sight. I'm not sculpted. So,
for sure.
Yeah, all right, we're talking about our physique.
I can still see the outline of the six pack was from when I was a teenager.
There you go. We're talking about our physiques on the pod. We need to go.
Hey, that might get us an extra 30 listeners. You never know.
Okay.
Just saying, not everybody's as straight as an arrow. Just saying. All right, we're out of here for the day. Be well. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday. Peace.
Peace out.